Our next speaker is Linda D. Linda is from Colorado. And a little fun fact about her that she shared is that she has traveled quite extensively and stayed abstinent, including 5 trips to Cambodia. She's been to Mexico. She's been on several cruises, and she has stayed abstinent. And it was a really delightful conversation that I got to have with her and really tune in on how much life we can really live around the world and still be abstinent and enjoy what life has to offer us. So thank you.
All right. Hi, guys. I'm Linda. I'm a compulsive overeater. My abstinence date is November 15th of 2009. I was going to go through all the sponsoring things. I don't have to do that, do I? Okay, so there's a timer person here somewhere, right? Good. The rules have changed. I am speaking for 90 minutes tonight. Oh, wow. All right. What is it, 20 minutes, I think? Anyway, the other thing that I want to tell you, first of all, thank you so much for asking me to speak tonight. I thank you. It's a big honor. But when I talked to Suzanne about the speaker committee and what to do and all these kinds of things, I said to her, I only have one qualification to speak before this group. And that is, I refuse to talk to any of you while you're eating. Not going to happen. Your eyeballs are going to be on that plate and not on me. So I said, no way we're going to do that. So I'm actually talking about willingness. The weekend's all about willingness. And, you know, I was kind of thinking about this whole willingness idea. And, you know, it's almost like we just say that word to you, willingness, got to have willingness. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, wait a minute. Maybe you really don't know what that looks like. Maybe you really don't know what that feels like. Maybe you really don't know how to find out about willingness. And that's what this is about. This weekend, the program, it's about being willing. So one of the first things I looked at was my jobs. I sat down this afternoon, and I put down a list, and I have had 6 main jobs in the 15 years that I've been abstinent, 6 main jobs. First, I began leading a meeting first I began sharing at a meeting. First, I began observing the 7 tools. Now, my sponsor is not here, but when I found out about the 7 tools, I told her, there's no way I can do that. No way. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to make 3 phone calls. I'm too important. I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm a very important person. I'm not going to make 3 phone calls. I'm not going to call in my food. I'm not going to do questions. I told her, I said, it doesn't. But what happened there? I became willing. Why was I willing? Because I looked like that. Because you guys, by the way, do you see that one picture of me? It says Husky of the Month. Yes. I worked at a school that the school sports team was the Huskies. And so, And so I was elected Husky of the Month. It was kind of appropriate for those days. Oh, I didn't tell you. I lost 95 pounds. Yeah. Yep. 95 pounds. So anyway, back to the... I put my toe in the water and I led a meeting. I became willing to lead a meeting. Now, can I tell you, and I'm going to say this for every single job, I was scared spitless. I had no idea what I was doing. So if you think that service or working in this program means that, you know, you're some kind of super duper intellect, no, no. What I've learned, and I'll go down the list here. What I've learned is there's always all these people around me that helped me. The fellowship is nurturing and helpful, and I mean that with all my heart. They help. When you show up to a job, if you don't know what you're doing, you just raise your hand and somebody helps you. You make that phone call. You become willing. You learn how to be willing. You watch the people around you to be willing. And you don't have to be afraid. So then I was a treasurer. Now that is always pretty weird. I'm not a treasurer. I like to tell people, I know when I personally have money and I know when I don't have money. Beyond that, I'm clueless. But I did it. I did it. I figured it out. Raised my hand. People helped me. I became willing. I learned to be willing. I was the intergroup secretary. And that was good. I have more of a sort of language arts background, so that worked pretty well. I was intergroup rep. I didn't know what that meant. That meant you count the people, and you call it in, and you go to intergroup meetings. I learned about that. Area 2 rep, another one. And there was a long time that they didn't really know who the Area 2 rep was, and I kept going, it's me. I'm the Area 2 rep. It's me. I had to learn how to become willing and how to do Area 2 rep. I'm a delegate. I was on the finance committee. I didn't last long on the finance committee. And they were nice. They were really nice. They asked me to time a seminar because I'd be on the phone call and I'd be like, I don't know. Special needs committee. Oh, I got to stop. I got to stop here. Yes. Do you see this booklet? Yes. Yes. There it is. I was a part of many, many people editing this book. And this was worse than birthing a baby. I just want to tell you. But I became willing. Now, I will tell you, and it's called Daily Reflections Workbook 2. Buy it. It's phenomenal. This thing is so clean and so well done. Oh, Lord, what a work that was. But I want to tell you, this is a part of becoming willing, learning to be willing. I started as a delegate on the phone, pandemic, right? Not even Zoom, on the phone, pandemic, editing from what I heard over the phone. I didn't even have a manuscript. And I pretty much jumped in and they said, okay, we're going to edit January 15th. What do you think? And I'm with pencil and paper doing this editing with everybody else. So what did I have to do? I had to become willing to learn, I hate to say this to some of you, technical stuff. Yeah, I had to learn how to do tech. And I have. And I'm still not perfect at it. I know they're talking about Venmo. Venmo is my new language. I have no idea what that means. But they all go, oh, Venmo. I don't know what Venmo is. But I'll tell you something. I'm willing. I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to try it and find out. So, I had to do that. Are you happy now, Suzanne? Okay. Suzanne wanted to make sure I did that. Okay. So I've done the sponsorship committee, special needs, the agenda committee, and urgent business. Every single one of these things that I've done, I came into it spitless. I was scared spitless. And we can also say that other word, but I won't say it. I was spitless. I was like, how do I do this? What does this mean? All I did was show up. All I did was get my willingness going. I showed up and I did it. But the other thing I was doing, I was seeking things to do. I was seeking places to be willing. I was seeking and watching and learning. Look around your fellowship. We got some real heavy hitters in here. We've got people that have been abstinent and worked. Watch them. copy them. Move in the same way that they move. Investigate how they do it. And then jump in the water. Explore it. So, I mean, all this, all the willingness that you can possibly muster to run your program. You also need, and I had to go through my little things here, but you also need willingness to change. You have to be willing to do it different. You got to. You just got to. What you were doing before ain't working. It just isn't. Didn't work for me. Didn't work for me at all. I don't know where I would be if I didn't come to see how. I don't know where I would be. I have no clue. Because that was a product of me being unwilling to change, being unwilling to look around and make a difference in my life and in other people's lives. All those, is that a great one? Look at that one. That was good. Oh, man. I like that. That's my mom and dad. I'm sitting between these two little old people. There's a big red sandwich in the middle of it there. These two little old people. And I want to tell you about that. I have to, you know, come looking at that. I was very close to my father. Very, very close to my father. And got the call. He was 93. Got the call. And he had was hospitalized and in a coma, and he was transitioning over. He's passing over, and I stopped. I went. I was with him, mom, and my brother. And I left the hospital after he was gone. And I went, "What do I do? What do I do?" And I want to tell you, I'm not going to lie to you. Drive through. I just went through a horrible thing. A deli, I don't know, all-night grocery, something else. And I went, wait a minute, how will that help anything? And I had to stop and be willing to try to get through that night. And so I went to my mom and dad's house, and lo and behold, there was just enough abstinent food there for me to make myself some dinner. And I did. And I'm so grateful that I did that, because being abstinent through that time kept me emotionally stable, mentally stable, physically stable. My brother was pretty up and down. My mother was obviously an older woman. She just lost her husband. But I was able to see what had to be done and do it. I was willing to stay abstinent in that incredibly, for me, dark night. I was willing. And it paid off. It benefited everyone around me. It made everything around me make sense. You know, yeah, I could have done the drive-thru. I could have done the grocery store. I could have done this. I could have done that. You know, and it, oh, well, okay. I could have another day of abstinence. But I didn't. And I'm so grateful that I had the ability, the willingness. I just had the willingness. I mean, when you go through those things, and many of you in this room have done that, when you go through these things, your head's a washing machine. It's not like you go, oh yeah, I know, I'll be abstinent. Where's my scale? Da, da, da. You know, you're just like, you know, I mean, you know, my life has changed. The air went out of the room. And yet, there I was, abstinent. My mother, I cared for my mother for 5.5 years in our home. And there are those of you that are caretakers to your older parents, caretakers to children that have special needs. For 5.5 years, my mom lived with me. She was, I like to call my mother as, I like to say that she was, she would have put General Eisenhower to shame as far as as far as running Normandy. She would have, believe me. But what I did was I stayed abstinent, and it was hard every day, all the time. She tried, but she was bossy and achy and and crabby and all kinds of things. But I stayed abstinent. I stayed sane. It gave me the serenity and the peace to move through, I want to say, the muck of a daily care of a person in your house. Forgive me if that offends you, but it's mucky. It's not fun. I would have people, like at my church and whatnot, they would say, oh, it's so beautiful what you're doing. I'd be like, maybe not. But I was abstinent. I was willing to do that. I was willing to try. And in the meantime, and by the way, and I've heard this also from members this weekend especially, that volunteering helped them to being willing to go see something else, being willing to do something else, being willing to commit to something else, helped them get through tough times, really tough times. And you gotta look for that. You gotta look for that. But I remember with my mom, I was like, no, it doesn't help for me to go to the whites. For me to go to the whites would have put me directly in my pity pot. For me to go to the whites would have put me directly into confusion, directly into problem, directly into, you know, maybe arguing with mom. I did a lot of walking away. Okay, mom. All right. You know, because I had the ability to stay clear thinking, I'm wondering, and now in this world we're living in today, that some of us abstinent people are saving our families because we're not the nutty ones. We're not the ones fighting about everything. We're not the ones, you know, we recoil as from a hot flame and we argue with no one. And maybe you're doing something there with your abstinence that you don't even realize. But you got to be willing to stick to that abstinence. You got to be willing to serve. You have to be willing. You got to be willing to go to meetings. You know, I'll hear about people have this or that, blah, 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 and I think, go to a meeting. Go to a meeting. There are Zoom meetings, there's phone meetings, there's meetings in Spanish. You could go to Poland and go to a meeting. And I heard there's a group in Italy, there's Italians in meetings. Go to a meeting. Just be willing. Just put your little bottom in the car, or telephone, or Zoom. And if you don't know how to do it, talk to somebody. They'll teach you how to do it. You got to do these things. And what I really like to say to you, and what I've been thinking about for the last week, is you need to become willing to deepen your spiritual walk. This is not a program that you can do without the support of whatever your spiritual path is. Now, I'm not here to tell you what that flavor has to be. I'm not here to tell you, you know, do it this way, do it that way, read this book, read that. No, that's not my job. That's not my job. I'm not God. Although sometimes I act like I'm God, but I'm not God. But be willing to deepen your spiritual path. Be willing to investigate whatever those urges are. And everybody has different ones. Everyone has different ones. But whatever those urges are about visiting this place or talking to this person or looking for spiritual guidance over here or looking for spiritual guidance over there, you cannot do 12 steps. And I would dare say you cannot do life without a higher power. You can't. It won't work. It won't work. So as it says in the big book, maybe the group is going to be your higher power. That's fine. Maybe a particular cultural situation is your higher power. That's good. Find your higher power. Go deeper. I've been a little disappointed because I run a meditation. I shouldn't say I run. Forgive me for saying that. I lead meditation meeting on the phone, and it's hybrid, you know, for face-to-face. And I've had several members tell me, oh, meditation, that's too tough. That's too tough. We do 5 minutes of silent meditation. It's not directed religiously. It's just 5 minutes of meditation. And it kind of, I don't know, I think that's kind of, you know, something that we need to look at. You can't do 5 minutes of silence. You don't have to pray. You don't have to, you know, do whatever the things that you think you have. You don't have to do any of those things. All you are is quiet for 5 minutes. And whatever form your higher power takes will carry you through that 5 minutes. Now, for me, a meeting will do this, but the 5 minutes of meditation, I end up usually going, oh, that's how that works. I don't know about you guys, but I do. If I get quiet and I sit still, if I become willing, all of a sudden something becomes very clear to me. And I mean, like, wow, Linda, you really screwed this up. Hey, you owe an amends over here. Or, you know, wow, I love you. Good job. Be quiet. You're my little girl. I love you. Those kinds of things become when you are willing to meditate, willing to try deepening your spiritual walk. And again, whatever that looks like, it's there. It's there in all of us. That's what it says in the big book. It's in all of us. We all have this hole that needs to be filled. Find out more about your spiritual path. Learn, watch people. Now it says, you know, that may be a member, another member that might help you. It might be a relative. It might be a friend. It might be someone that you just really think is terrific. Find out, learn how to be willing to take that chance, to take that dive where you just look at somebody and say, hey, you know, tell me about whatever it is. Go for a walk with me. Help me find peace with my higher power. Help me find peace with my spiritual walk. And help me gain a willingness to spend time in consideration of whatever that is for you. I can't say it enough. You need that. You absolutely need to have a spiritual path in order to do this program. But again, like I said, in this world, I think you need it to live. Just to get up in the morning. Anymore, things are pretty nuts. So I'm going to read this, and it's a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relation with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. That sentence always puts me away. May God bless you and keep you until then. So the main part about what I'm saying, it says abandon yourself to God. And I see myself, when I abandon myself to God, man, my arms are out. I'm just flying. I'm just like, yeah. Just abandon myself to God. Just all of you, all of me. Just Yes, abandon yourself to God, but you have to be willing. You have to be open. And I'll tell you something, higher power, if you tap higher power, tap into higher power this much, you get this much back. It is so, so worth it to be willing to move into your higher power. Do it. You will be amazed. I don't even know how much time I have, but I think I'm done. So thank you.